Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. A proposal promising to help mental health and substance abuse services to the most severely impaired Californians is making its way through the state legislature and soon faces a key vote. The Community Assistance Recovery and Empowerment Court, or more commonly known as CARE Court, was announced earlier this year by Governor Newsom as a new solution to the homelessness crisis through court-mandated treatment and intervention to help those unhoused get off the streets and stay away from jail. The governor pitched this as the state needing to take more responsibility to change the status quo to reduce the growing number of people who are living and dying on the streets.
I mean, we could hold hands, have a candlelight vigil, talk about the way the world should be, or we could take some damn responsibility to implement our ideals. And that's what we're doing differently here.
But civil rights groups in California and across the country are pushing back. And California's county governments, who would be responsible for implementing this plan, are also raising red flags. Joining us to tell us where CARE Court currently stands and share their reporting on the potential impacts of this plan is CAP Radio reporters Nicole Nixon and Chris Nichols. Good morning, Nicole and Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Nicole, I want to start with you. Can you just remind us how CARE Court would be, or this proposal, would be different from the current system of conservatorships?
Yeah, well, the governor unveiled this proposal earlier this spring, and it's supposed to address people on the streets who are suffering not only from homelessness, but a severe mental illness. And, you know, he pointed out that the problem here is many times these people will cycle through hospitals, jails, end up back on the streets, and it's just this circle that never ends. Right now, in some cases, judges can order a conservatorship, which appoints a legal guardian for somebody that they believe cannot take care of themselves or make decisions for themselves. And CARE Court is pitched as sort of this in-between. It would be civil court-ordered treatment. And first responders and family members or loved ones of people with mental illnesses could petition the court for that treatment. Mm.
So it's currently making its way through the legislature. Where does it currently stand?
So it's awaiting a vote in the state assembly. It has to pass the assembly, and I think, you know, it's been changed a bit. So even if it does pass the assembly, it's got to go back to the Senate for what's called a concurrence vote. And then it would go to Governor Newsom. It's done pretty well in the legislature so far. It's gotten, you know, overwhelming yes votes. A few lawmakers have acknowledged some of the concerns and criticisms of this proposal, but the response has been mostly supportive. And then, of course, this legislative deadline is coming up next week. So we're expecting a vote on it, you know, anytime.
Yeah, it is fast approaching. So can you unpack more about why the governor says that the state needs to create a new intervention system as opposed to reforming the existing conservatorship system?
Well, he's been arguing that it's a broken system. It only serves a few thousand people at a time. According to the Department of Health Care Services, there were about 3,600 people on permanent conservatorships in California in 2020 and about 1,500 on temporary conservatorships. And then, you know, Newsom and his advisors say that conservatorships should be a last resort. And they believe that CARE Court can be more of an intervention to get people treatment before it gets to the point that they need a conservatorship or it gets to the point that they end up in jail or in the hospital. Here's Jason Elliott. He's a senior advisor to the governor on this issue.
I think to suggest that somehow we should wait until trauma to provide treatment is the wrong approach. And the status quo in California is that we wait until people end up in state hospital or prison. And we can bemoan that as a reality, but it is the reality right now.
Okay, so CARE Court is promising to get ahead of this and preventing people before they are placed in hospital or put in jail. But what do civil and disability rights advocates have to say about this proposal?
They are very, very wary of this proposal. The ACLU and disability rights organizations from across the country wrote a letter to Newsom urging him to pause it. They have equated it to involuntary treatment, and they point to evidence that compulsory treatment is less effective and has worse outcomes for people with addiction and mental disabilities. I talked to Eric Harris with Disability Rights California about this. He says that involuntary treatment can lead to more frustration, more trauma for people with mental disabilities. And after a bad experience, people are less likely to want to ever do it again.
that happens way more often the vast majority of time than somebody saying, oh, I didn't know before, but now that I've been forced to do this, I want to go about it again. That's not how this typically ends up working.
And Harris says, you know, this could actually have the opposite effect than its intended purpose, especially for people with marginalized backgrounds who are at a higher risk for homelessness and have this sort of compounding trauma from a bad experience.
Given the fact that the letter from disability rights advocates goes beyond California, it's from over 27 states, what was the governor's response?
Well, Newsom has not personally responded to that letter, as far as I know. But his advisor, Jason Elliott, who we heard from, you know, disputes that this would be involuntary treatment. Even though it may be ordered by a judge, he insists there will be no locked doors in care court and that treatment would not take place, you know, in a custodial setting like a jail or under a conservatorship. But again, their argument is that the status quo cannot continue because it just has not been working and the homelessness problem in California continues to get worse.
You know, a big crux of this is having enough housing and having enough beds. And there are housing advocacy groups in California. What do they have to say about this proposal?
Well, one of the main arguments against this proposal is that it's starting in the wrong place. And, you know, it's not focusing on the root of California's homelessness problem, which is there is not enough affordable housing. So housing advocates and others argue that, you know, that should be the starting point. If you put people in housing, they can stabilize and it's much easier for them to take care of their own mental health and other problems they may be facing. Here is Mari Castaldi with the advocacy group Housing California.
What decades of evidence show is that voluntary access to treatment and using housing as sort of the first step as a place for folks to get connected to treatment is really what works, not only at ending folks' homelessness, but in actually, you know, giving better mental health outcomes.
Okay, Nicole, so who supports this proposal?
A lot of local officials support it, especially at the city level. There are mayors from about 45 cities, you know, including Oakland, San Diego, Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg have come out in support. And business groups are also in support. There is a bit of a division with local governments, though, which I know Chris will get into. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So earlier this week, the governor vetoed SB 57. That's a bill that would have allowed the first pilot programs for supervised drug injection sites in California, would connect them as well to services. Some who supported the bill suggested his decision to veto the bill had more to do with politics rather than health and public safety. What are you hearing from those who support or oppose Newsom in terms of the politics surrounding care court?
Well, I think if Newsom had signed the safe consumption bill, the attack ads from around the country would have written themselves. Homelessness is such a visible and such a widespread problem in California. And I think that, you know, no matter his presidential ambitions, this is something that he has got to tackle. And it's a stubborn problem. And I think either way, he sees this as, you know, one of his best options. And he's going to go for it either way.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we've been talking with CAP Radio politics reporter Nicole Nixon about California's care court proposal. We're now going to bring in CAP Radio reporter Chris Nichols to share what he learned about care court and how it will impact local governments. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Vicki.
Okay, so California's county governments would play a really large role in carrying out this initiative. How would counties specifically be involved?
They would play a really large role. Counties would be involved at just about every level of care court. You would have county public defenders represent the people who are selected as potential participants in this program, plus additional court staff. You would have clinical social workers, counselors, and therapists. They would all work with the participants. They're all county employees or contractors. They would help assess who is right for care court and who is not. They would spend time at court hearings, fill out reports and evaluations, and then eventually provide the mental health or addiction treatment ordered by the judge. I spoke with Ryan Quist about all of this. He's the director of Sacramento County's Department of Behavioral Health Services. And he said he has some real concerns about care court taking his limited number of clinical workers away from treatment and adding a large additional workload of what he described as more administrative duties.
In our world, these are administrative responsibilities that take my clinical staff away from their actual clinical work of providing services and supporting people and helping them on their path to recovery. What that means is that we see it everywhere. We hear everybody talking about it. We already have a workforce crisis where we don't have enough clinicians to be delivering the mental health, substance use disorder services that are needed out in our community. We have vacancies all over the place that we're currently not able to fill.
And Quist went on to say that his department already has a deficit of more than 100 clinical workers. And to give our listeners an idea of the workload of this department, Sacramento County provides mental health services for approximately 30,000 people per year and addiction services for about 4,000 or 5,000 people annually. That's all according to Quist. And the county is required to provide these services for Medi-Cal beneficiaries. And of course, this is all before Care Court is potentially added as a new responsibility.
Okay, so talking about a deficit of more than 100 clinical workers with potentially an added responsibility, we get into an issue or a challenge when it comes to the infrastructure to really scale up Care Court within county governments. How has the Newsom administration responded to these concerns?
Well, through negotiations with the counties, the Newsom administration has agreed not to have Care Court start right away in all locations. Jason Elliott from the governor's office, who we heard from earlier, he told us there will be a ramp-up period and some counties will start later than others. And on that workforce shortage issue, Elliott says the Newsom administration has already approved funding to help with that.
The answer to it is a $1.7 billion workforce initiative to develop more than 20,000 new clinical social workers and other professionals in adjacent space, because we can do everything else right. And if we don't have people to do the jobs, then none of it matters.
And to learn more about that workforce initiative, I spoke with the California State Association of Counties, which represents county governments at the Capitol. And they told me they are hopeful that money translates into new trained workers, but they also cautioned that it can take a long time for that money to get sent out and for hirings to take place.
Well, Chris, on top of concerns over funding and staffing, another piece is housing. And county governments will be responsible for finding housing for people who take part in Care Court. What did they say about this prospect?
Right. As we talked about a little bit earlier, housing is a big part of this. And under the Care Court plan, a judge could order counties to provide housing for participants. Counties are very concerned about this. Ryan Quist, again with Sacramento County, pointed out what we all know. There's really a severe lack of available housing across the state right now.
If part of the focus is to try to address homelessness, we really need to focus on that housing availability, because we can get individuals into services, help them get better, but then once they're better, where are they going to live? And so really, we need to focus on making sure that we have sufficient housing for this population.
And now the governor's office points to nearly $15 billion already approved in recent years for homeless housing. That has led to the opening of several thousand new units for unhoused residents, largely in the form of converted motel rooms. And there are more that are opening up in future months.
So given that there still is a good amount to hash out, Chris, what are you going to be looking for if Care Court passes the legislature and Newsom signs it into law?
Well, I think locally we'll be watching to see how early things ramp up in Sacramento County, how early they're required to start up. And of course, we'll be watching those workforce issues. Is the county able to quickly hire the number of clinical social workers and counselors and therapists that are needed to not only provide this treatment, but go through this court process with anyone who is selected for Care Court? And then, of course, we'll be watching the housing issue. As you know, part of my job covering affordable housing and homelessness, we'll see how quickly homeless housing actually gets online in our region.
All right, Nicole, you reminded us, I mean, there's a very quick deadline. You know, we got about a week at the state capitol. So if the legislature passes this and Newsom signs it into law, where does your reporting take you?
I mean, I think, like Chris mentioned, the staffing issue will be huge, partly because there's a shortage, but now we're going to have all these counties competing for workers. I think that will be really interesting to watch. And then, you know, I would love to be keeping in touch with these disability rights groups about who's actually being pulled in for this program. They are really concerned about, you know, people of different or marginalized backgrounds, LGBTQ people who have historically been, you know, part of institutionalization. And they're very, very concerned about that.
CAP Radio reporters Nicole Nixon and Chris Nichols, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vicki.
Up next, we're going to hit the road with United Farm Workers as they close in on a 335-mile march to the state capitol and listen to what they're fighting for. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.